If you have your Bible, turn over to 1 John, the first chapter in John. As you're turning there, just want to remind you that the Bible drillers are going down Saturday for the state Bible drill competition. And so we need to remember them going as they're there and coming back, okay? And then I know that Tom's class is aware of this, but I saw him walking through the fellowship hall this morning, and he was going home because of Shirley not feeling well and having fallen down, I think he said 10 times. So she's having a hard time, and he just didn't think she should leave her at home alone, and I think that that's probably a good idea. So let's remember the Bible drillers. Let's remember Shirley, and maybe you have someone on your heart as well. Father, we just thank you for who you are and what you're about in Christ. The victory indeed is won, and we thank you for this great gift of salvation you so freely give to us. We would ask that you continue to be with Tom and Shirley and the whole family, Lord, as they minister unto her. She's having a really tough time walking or standing up, and we know sometimes that this is what happens, and we pray, Father, you give her your strength and protect her, that she doesn't fall down and hit a table or something like that and make it worse. So pray, Father, you continue to be with them. Then, Lord, I ask you to be with Joy and those that are going down for the Bible drills. Give them a safe trip there and back. Help them, Lord, to be able to do well at the meet, just to recite what they've already learned. Help them to have good recall on that. So, Lord, many things we have on our hearts and minds, but we ask you to be with us now as we're in this service, in this place, at this time. We know that the Holy Spirit is here, whether two or three are gathered together, and your name, there you are in the midst. Lord, we welcome you this morning. Be with us now as we look at your word briefly for these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And I'm going to try to make it briefly this morning. You understand that that's very almost impossible for me to do. But I recognize sometimes you probably think to yourself, does the pastor even have any idea what the time is? No, usually not. But I did observe that we went over a pretty good bit on Palm Sunday. And then I chided Carl for that. So I have to chide myself because we were over again last Sunday. So I'm thinking about a 3-minute sermon today would probably just about catch you up normal. But I can't do it. But nevertheless, 1 John, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifest and we have seen it and bear witness and showed unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Didn't we just have, I think we had a great service last Sunday. The music was powerful, inspirational. Pastor Kim, of course, has got that great voice, and I love Jerusalem. And, of course, he did pretty good with the choir. I think that they did pretty well, belted it out as well. And, of course, the children, you know, they did this special job. I thought it was just powerful, spellbinding. There was the gospel message in that song and the artwork. And I think they just pulled all the stops. And they were singing from their hearts and with their lungs, capturing, at least my mind and my heart, what a blessing that was. But where do we go from there? We had a great Sunday last Sunday. everything that we would tend to do afterwards, probably to many people, is anticlimactic. And this is what John is doing when he's writing to these people at Ephesus here in this letter, the first epistle. The resurrection had happened. They had celebrated that. The gospel had began to permeate the Asia Minor area, being carried all the way to Rome by the Apostle Paul. And great things were happening. But there's a tendency for us, and I thought about doing this, you know, maybe asking Brother Don to take his hand and just clench his fist and just keep it clenched. And when you can no longer keep it clenched, Brother Don, you holler out. We'll hear him in a little while. Because we have a hard time staying focused, and we have a hard time. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Peter, over in John chapter 21, after all that he had seen, after all that he had witnessed, after all this, he walked with Jesus, he heard Jesus, he saw Jesus, he saw the healings, he saw the miracles, he himself actually walked on water for a few steps anyway. He heard Jesus preaching and teaching. He was there when Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." He was there at the empty tomb. He was there in those appearances. But John chapter 21 verse 3 says, Peter says, guys, I don't know what we're supposed to do now. I think I'm just going to go fishing. So what was he saying? I think he was basically saying, well, it's a marvelous thing. You know, we've had a great time with Jesus. He died on the cross, rose again. He is the resurrection and the life. I know how to fish. So he went back to fishing. That's what he was basically saying. And then the scripture goes on to say those that were standing there, they said, okay, I guess we will too. So we have a tendency to return to that rut that we call life. No matter what kind of rut it is, it might be a pleasant rut, it might be a terribly deep rut, it might be a horrible place. We have a tendency to go back there because that's what we know the best. We know in our minds and our hearts that Jesus is Lord. We know that. But life just comes at us, doesn't it? All the time, all the time, all the time. Things happen. I think of Joy when she got her car. She had it maybe a week or two, and boom. She came to prayer meeting and she was like this. And we said, what's wrong? Yeah, boom. Life happens, doesn't it? Sometimes it's good things, and we rejoice in those, and they lift our spirits up a little. But lots of times, there is the difficulty, even though we recognize that Jesus is Lord. We recognize that the resurrection has changed everything. We're living in a different world. It's the before and after, but we also, in our lives, have a before as well. And so we have those high moments when everything is going very well, and sometimes when we're serving the Lord and we actually are doing what we're supposed to be doing at the right time. I don't know how many times this happens to you, but it happens to me quite a bit. Something will happen, and I'll think to myself, you know, 45 minutes later or a day later, even worse, sometimes days later, a light bulb will come under my mind. I'll think, oh, man. That was my opportunity to say something for Jesus. That was my opportunity to minister. Just this last week, I was over dumping out some stuff over there at the Goodwill, over by the old Kroger's over there. And I noticed as I pulled in, there was this big tractor and trailer truck there. And so I pulled up and I started putting stuff out. And all of a sudden, I heard this guy said, "That's good. That's a very good thing you're doing there. That's what makes America great." I thought, what on earth is this? What are you talking about? He said, giving things. He says, you're going to help somebody with a job, you know, like the commercial says. You're going to help somebody with a job, and he said, we're going to recycle that stuff. Somebody might need, I had about 5 pairs of boots. My wife gathers up all these boots and things like that. Can't get these kids to wear them. So anyway, boom. And he said, somebody's going to use those boots. And I thought, yeah, that's true. And he just kept going on like that. And he said, you know, I love America. It's the greatest country in the world. He said, you know, I'm a Muslim. And my mind said, oh, well, I'm a Christian. But he wouldn't give me a chance to put a word in edgewise. He said, I'm from Morocco. I said, oh, okay. He said, I came to America about 7 years ago. He said, you see that truck over there? He said, I own that truck. He said, that's my business. I'm doing very well. I'm going to get my whole family over here shortly. He said, God is good. Of course, he was thinking of Allah. God is good. And America's great. He says, these haters that blaspheme God and kill people indiscriminately, he said, they're not Muslim. And I thought, well, I wish I could say that was the case. So anyway, he goes on. I must have saw it two or three times while he was going on of trying to interject something. You know, oh, I'm a Christian. He said, I'm a Muslim. I'm a Christian. But I never got it in. He was on and gone by me. Just bingo like that. That happens, doesn't it? There was a perfect opportunity. I should have said, God is great, but it's not Allah. That's what I should have said. And then we'd have had a fist fight in the parking lot, I'm sure. But anyway, I didn't say that. So things happen and life happens. But most of the time, I hate to say this, most of the time, probably our days are kind of mundane. Same thing. Get up in the morning, brush your teeth, comb your hair, take a shower, put on your clothes, go do whatever. Come back, eat some crackers and cheese for lunch or something. And, you know, it's mundane. It's everydayness. There's a routine there. Nothing extraordinary at all. And so John is writing a letter, this epistle, to the church there at Ephesus, and he wants to encourage them because, you see, the resurrection had happened. The cross and the resurrection had happened. Somebody had gone to Ephesus. Maybe the Apostle Paul might have been the key person in establishing that church. Somebody had been there preaching the gospel. A church was founded. Paul said, every place I go, I enlist elders and appoint them there. And so he's writing this letter, but this is 40 or 50 years now that has taken place. The book of Revelations, for example, over in the second chapter tells us about the second chapter, verse 1, about Ephesus. You can read something about that. And it goes on in verse 8 and talks to something about Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia. And then, of course, the one that we probably know the best is Laodicea, don't we? And we know Laodicea because the Lord says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that you would be cold or hot, but because you're lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. And I don't know, I'm sure in your mind, and the imagery is there, the Lord is not pleased with the church at Laodicea. But for these Christians who were there at Ephesus, these things were in their wheelhouse as well. Every day, the glorious splendor and the power of the gospel became a little bit dimmer. The hopes, the victories won now became less of a challenge. And because of that, they had become kind of nominal. Well, I hate to tell you, but I think we're just like that today in America. Oh, I really hate to say this. We're just like that. Look around you. Last week you couldn't have sat in here hardly. But now we've got plenty of room. There were those who came last week because that's Easter Sunday, that's Resurrection Sunday. No, this is Resurrection Sunday as well. And the Lord didn't say anything about, okay, you know, accept and repent of your sins and I'll forgive you. And two times a year is enough service. That's Christmas and Easter, or maybe some other day, maybe. Let's stick one of those things in there. But don't worry about, that's not what it says, is it? When we pray and ask Christ to come in our lives, when we ask for that forgiveness, and we said, Jesus, you be Lord of my life, and I'm going to serve you for the rest of my life, and you use me, fill me with the Holy Spirit, commission me, and steer me and guide me, we didn't say, and nor did we even give the implication that it was just to be a part-time thing. Somebody talked about the old frozen chosen, you know. Well, that's us. That's us. Somebody asked a question some years ago. What are the two major problems of Christianity today? The response was, I don't know and I don't care. And the questioner says, my goodness, you got them both right, right off the bat. Lethargy. A lack of zeal. A lack of enthusiasm. You know, I think there might be another thing that we could add to those two qualities. And that is not only lethargy and lack of zeal, but heresy. We have a lot of heresy. We have a lot of false teachings going around each and every day. They're being espoused. There are thousands of people listening to those things. They're succumbing to it. They don't even recognize the allure that is drawing them in to these things, which are not gospel at all. But those who preach and teach that, they spin that a little bit, don't they? They spin that in favor of, oh no, should I say them? Themselves? They do, don't they? Personal fame, riches, whatever it might be. All that infects everybody. And there's always the desire, no matter how hard, and no matter how diligent we are, to blend in. Don't want to be singled out as being some sort of religious freak. I remember when I was in Korea, my friend Ron Renner, who's in Indianapolis, and my friend Mike Jester, who's in Texas, and of course he just has went through a bout of cancer and he's in remission now. That's wonderful. But I remember Mike. I knew him, of course, before he became a Christian, before he got saved, and then he started witnessing to me, of course. But I remember he had a jacket that he had. They made a jacket for him downtown. It was kind of like a bomber jacket or something like that. And he had on the back of the jacket this cartoonish character. And it was just filled with profanity and all kinds of stuff. Because that's where he was at. That's where he was at. Well, then Christ came into his life, and he took the jacket downtown, and he had the guy pick all that stuff out. And then he put, in big, big red letters, Jesus saves. I thought, well, that's cool. I like that. But he had down a little bit further, turn or burn, sucker. I thought, well, Mike, I don't know if we need that. I don't know. So anyway, I thought to myself, you know, I want to be authentic. I want to be real. But I'm not sure that that's authenticness just to have your jackets. You know, you repaired your jacket. You got the old picked out. The new came in, but even the new wasn't, you know. Well, that's where we're at. We have a tendency to want to be that and be accepted. And we're told, of course, every day, and I heard just last week as they were, actually had quite a few things, the Via Della Rosa and things like that they had on television where they showed people doing things. They had the Pope doing something, Mass at St. Peter's and all that kind of stuff. So it was quote unquote, I call all that kind of stuff religious junk. I would call all that stuff that's going on. Well, the world is religious, man. The world is not atheist. The world is religious. They're worshiping something all the time. Allah or somebody else. No matter, though, how weak the state of Christianity is, guess what? God is still God. He hasn't changed a bit. No matter how weak the state of Christianity is in America, Jesus is still Lord. No matter how drifting and anchorless we are, Jesus is not dead. He arose from the grave. He gave the Spirit of God, and he still draws people unto himself, and we as his people are still commissioned to go. That hasn't changed. The supernatural power of the gospel, the Spirit of God working in every life, sir, we would see Jesus. That's what they need. But that means that we're going to have to be on our toes, and we're going to have to be ready always to give an answer for the hope that's in us. I always like that old psalm. It says, rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. We get caught up in lesser things. We're talking about, you know, what color trash cans we need at the church. I told you about the church that is just right there on I-65 as you pass by Huntsville, which of course is, you know, the rockets, a lot of rocket stuff there for the Cape Canaveral stuff. They got a rocket out there setting right next to the side of the road. It's a rest station. You can pull off the road and rest there. And I told you that I went a little bit past there, and there was a sign that said, right foot first, Baptist Church. And I don't know about you, that got my attention. Right foot first, Baptist Church, what's that? You know, Calvary Baptist, okay. You know. Emmanuel Baptist, right foot first? Yeah. Well, it wasn't 200 yards. Left foot first, Baptist Church. Now, I don't know. Because you couldn't get off there. They had a fence there. They had that big old chain link fence there, and you can't run through that and go over there and check those folks out. But for years, and I saw that, and I told my wife, of course, she's sleeping. So, what? It's gone, you know. So the next year we go, same thing, and I'm thinking, okay. I'm looking at the rocket. I know that sign's coming up. And so I wake up my wife, and I said, look at this. Look at that sign. Right foot first, Baptist Church. She said, oh, I see it. We went another couple hundred yards. Left foot first, Baptist Church. Oh, I see it. I said, what does that mean? And of course, having the great religious background that she had, she said, oh, see, that's easy. That's easy, huh? You know, I'm just lost as a goose. I don't know anything about religion. And so she says, you know what that's probably talking about? I said, I don't know what that's probably talking about. She said, they probably are fighting over which foot to wash first when they wash feet. Oh. I always wanted to stop and see if that was the case, but I didn't. And then about 3 or 4 years later after that, I saw the signs were down. And I thought, well, hopefully they've got back together and realized it didn't make any difference which foot needed to be washed first if their hearts weren't right. Listen, John says, listen, we have seen these things with our eyes. We're telling you what we've seen, what we've heard. He said, our hands handled the word of life. Remember back in the Gospel of John says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. See, John was trying to say to those folks, listen, I know you've started out in Christ, just like me. And what we're standing on is solid ground. Unshakable truths of the gospel. Jesus did come. He did preach. He did teach like no other man. He did die on the cross. He did raise again the third day. And we've been commissioned to take that to the whole world. That's our commission. And we need to be about doing it. We need to never forget that. We need to always embrace that truth. But my experience is, and probably your experience is the same thing, that sometimes we get so caught up in the world as we don't get around to being who we should be all the time. Jesus said over in Matthew 19:30, a very odd thing. He said, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Remember when he was talking about the parable of the laborers coming to the vineyard, and he said the guy went out and he hired these guys in the morning, and he said, I'll give you a penny for your wages. And then he came back a couple hours later and hired some more, and he came back a little later and hired some more, came back a little later and hired some more, and all those kind of things. And then at the end of the day, he began handing out the pay. And the guys at the end, who maybe worked maybe an hour, got a penny. And then the guys who were worked a couple hours got a penny. And then the guys who'd worked half a day got a penny. Then the guys who'd been there mid-morning got a penny. And then the guys who'd got up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and they were up there at sunshine and sunrise, they got a penny. And what did those guys say? Hey! What's the deal here? I've been working all day long. I think that's kind of where we're at sometimes. Listen, Jesus said, it's my money, I do what I want with. That's kind of a paraphrase. God always is going to reward. And why should we be jealous of someone else receiving a reward? I don't think we should. We're told in the scriptures there are five crowns, aren't we? Imperishable crown, 1 Corinthians 9. There's a crown of rejoicing over in 1 Thessalonians. There's a crown of righteousness over in 2 Timothy. There's a crown of glory over there in 1 Peter. There's a crown of life in Revelation 2. Friends, listen. Don't get discouraged. Never be discouraged. Jesus is Lord. If we confess our sins, John says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That verse is so important, I think, because every day should be confession day. Because every day we're failing him some way, shape, fashion, or form, sometimes multiple times, sometimes just once. But the scripture says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse us of our sins. And then what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, even the things we don't even realize that we've done. Let me just ask you a kind of a quick question here. How many times do you take a bath in a week? I could ask Grayson that. He would pop up and say, once or twice. How many times do you take? I take one every day. Sometimes twice. Depends on what I'm doing. I get out messing around. I get all filthy or something like that. First thing I want to do is get cleaned up. Listen, when we are in the world, we're going to get filthy. We're going to walk through the muck and the mire. We're going to get it. It's all over us. But that doesn't mean that we're not his child. That doesn't mean that he can't do something about it. If we confess our sins, he is going to cleanse us from that unrighteousness. Matter of fact, he's going to make us pristine all over again. Just like that very first moment that we received Christ Jesus as Lord. We had a great service last week. It was a lot of fun. I'm sure glad I was here. Blessed me in a lot of ways. But you know, I went home last week and I found out that in Sri Lanka, over 200 Christians had been killed. In five or six different places, some churches, some hotels, where the people were worshiping, they'd been killed. Boy. We heard yesterday somebody walks into a synagogue and killed some people. For fun and frolic, I guess. I have no idea what they're doing. That's the world that we live in. Don't you think it might be important for us to live our faith and tell people about Jesus? Because that's the world we live in. It needs to come to Christ. Father God, thank you for all that you do in our lives. We thank you for this great gift of salvation. We thank you, Father, you've commissioned us to be royal ambassadors, to the world around us. And you've given us this message, a wonderful message. A message that changes lives and has and can change the world. There are ups and downs, there are highs and lows. But the commission has not been rescinded. Help us not to get discouraged. To lift up Jesus in everything we do. To stay clean for Him. That we might be used of Him. Even though many times we fail. But still yet, to go forward. We're not home yet. The commission is not over yet. I think I can see the finish line, Lord. Help us to go for it to the end. For these things I ask in Jesus' name.